This is Akashvani. In the weekly program, Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on government's coordinated effort to eradicate Naxalism. The participants are MP Nathaniel, former Inspector General CRPF, and Sundar Raj P, Inspector General of Police, Bastar Range, Chhattisgarh. Moderator is Neelav Srivastav, journalist.
The government of India has declared a final war on Naxalism or left-wing extremism in the country. We know that Union Home Minister, Mr. Amit Shah, has said that the country will be getting rid of the menace of LWE by March 31, 2026. In this context, there are a number of operations our listeners must be reading and watching on televisions about the different number of operations that are being undertaken by the security forces in different left-wing extremism affected states of the country. The main battle, no doubt, remains in the state of Chhattisgarh, central Indian state, and in Chhattisgarh, the southernmost part of Bastar, which is a region where there are about 5 to 6 districts which are most Naxal violence affected. Very recently, this is to bring in context of a country's biggest coordinated operation, as the security forces have called it, is the Operation Black Forest, which was conducted for 21 days between April 21 to May 11 at the border of Chhattisgarh and Telangana at a hill called Koregatalu. This was Bijapur district on Chhattisgarh side, and on the Telangana side, this is Mulugu district of Telangana. The security forces, thousands in numbers, they killed at least 31 Naxalites. The security chiefs of heads of various forces like the CRPF, the Chhattisgarh police and its various units, they said that they, with this operation, they have dismantled the entire top command of the Maoists. They have also reduced their invincibility, as they always had a place to hide. We have with us Mr. MP Nathaniel, who is a retired IG of the CRPF, Inspector General of the CRPF, and also a security expert. Sir, in this context, I wanted to understand, now that a final deadline has been given to the internal security problem in the country, it is one amongst the major internal security issues that country is facing. So I will go to you about the operation in the second question, but first to understand as to what do you think are the major targets if we and the security forces are looking forward to achieve vis-a-vis the deadline of March 31, 2026.
Thank you, Neelav, for having me in this broadcast. In fact, the very fact that so many troops have been deployed with the sole objective of finishing off this Naxalism in that area. Unfortunately, there were three leaders in that who managed to escape. They were Hidma, Damodar and Barse. These three are much wanted fellows, and one of them is commanding the People Liberation War Group. And had these three fellows been killed, I think we could have easily come to a conclusion that the Naxalism is almost over, because they would have been left rudderless without any leadership. And in the absence of leadership, the possibility of majority of them coming over ground and surrendering before the authorities, coming to the normal streamline, that would have become easier. Unfortunately, they have not surrendered, and they are sending feelers for ceasefire, and even they want to have talks with the government. The government is not responding, nor is the Chhattisgarh government responding to that. Considering all this, the fact is that once an operation has been started, you cannot call it off midway. You have to take it to the logical conclusion and finish off the root cause over there by apprehending the top Naxals. And once these top Naxals are apprehended or killed in encounters, then I think much of our work would be much easy thereafter.
Considering that, Mr. Nathaniel, that number of districts, left-wing extremism affected districts, have been considerably reduced. There are figures that say that the number of police stations that were affected have also come down. The most Naxal violence affected districts have now come down to 6, out of which 4 are in Chhattisgarh. What should be the way forward going, not only for the security forces who are undertaking actual combat duties on the ground, but also for the administration? Because what we understand is, because Naxalism spread its tentacles across the, initially there were 10 to 11 states, and then it has reduced to, say, about effectively 3 or 4 states now. So the tentacles were spread because there was a vacuum. There was a vacuum of administration, there was a vacuum of security, obviously, and there was a vacuum of many other civic amenities that could probably have reached the last man, or the people living in these areas, especially the tribals. So what do you think should be the way forward for all the agencies collectively, or to say the state governments, to go forward vis-a-vis these areas which have been underdeveloped and especially Naxal violence affected?
Much of the work has already been started in the considering the fact that roads are being laid down everywhere and roads have already been constructed to a great extent. Initially, the Border Road Organization was involved in it because the local contractors who were given the contract of constructing the road, they were threatened and their people were also the ones who were working the navies. They were also threatened because of which the work could not really progress. But the BRO boys, they took up the job and provided full security by the CRPF. And under the coverage of CRPF security, they could manage to lay down the roads in several districts of Chhattisgarh. And because of the roads having been laid, people now have access to the towns and cities. And they can even go for better education, better health facilities, and all other facilities which a town provides to the people. So considering all this fact, I would say development has already started. And because of this development, the biggest advantage the security forces would have is that they would be able to get intelligence immediately. Earlier, the people were scared of the Maoists because they were close by. Now you see the very fact that even near Hedma's village, that is Puvarti, we have a CRPF company over there. And because of the CRPF company having been established in all these remote locations, it is much easier now to get information about the Naxal movement and action can be taken immediately by the security forces to apprehend them, or in an encounter, of course, they would be killed also.
Coming specifically to this operation, 21-day operation, long operation at Koregatalu Hills. So what the security forces have said that they have demolished the invincibility of the Maoists. They have also, the operation has led to their scattering that particular hill, which is infested with a number of wild animals, honeybees, very hard terrain. So this was a hideout that the Naxals had. And their top echelons, their top commanders have now been probably killed or injured and they have been shifted. They are no more in this place. When the Naxal issue started, there were their no-go areas, the kind of territories where only Naxal writ run large. There are few more areas, like in context is the Mad area, Abuj Mad area of Chhattisgarh. So how do you see this particular operation giving a fillip to the efforts of the security forces? And obviously that is directly linked to the development initiatives.
This particular hill feature, that is Koregatalu, there you see it is at a height of about 700 feet and it's a very vast area. That was the reason they had to deploy over 20,000 security forces personnel, that is mainly CRPF, then the Cobra battalions of CRPF, then the DRG of Chhattisgarh police, and even on the Telangana side, there were Greyhounds operating that side. And because of the vast area, the Naxals, they felt they are comfortable in that area because it's a hill area and they have the advantage of having a good view of the ground below or even getting information well in advance. The climb for the security forces would be very difficult in that terrain because of the hot weather also, and that would slow down the movement of advance of the security forces also. Because of that, they had ample time to escape in case the forces were nearing them. Moreover, to secure themselves, they had planted about 400 IEDs all over the area, so that in case security forces are approaching, then the information could reach them either through the explosion of these IEDs or through other means by clear view of the area down below. So because of this advantage they had, they could make good their escape. Otherwise, I think there was no chance that they could escape. And the fact that they had lathe machines over there, they had rations of about 12,000 kilos and various other weapons were already there, it shows that they had made it almost a permanent kind of location where Hidma and Damodar and Barse, they were all ensconced over there and they were safe. They generally have three security cordon rings. So with those three security cordon rings, they were pretty safe. But when they found that they have been surrounded by the forces, then they must have escaped from there and they have been split into different groups.
Right.
Now the matter doesn't end there. We have to still keep a tab of all the movements of these fellows And they may have in all probability gone to the borders across to Telangana area.
Right. You're talking about the state of Chhattisgarh, which remains the main last bastion, if I may call it, of where the security forces are now concentrated. They're really treading their path with caution, but a kind of new aggressive attitude is also being seen. You mentioned about the forward operating bases that multiple forces, CRPF, BSF and ITBP have opened there. Talking about Chhattisgarh, let's have our AIR correspondent from Raipur, Mr. Vikalp Shukla. What has he to say about the current state of operations in the state?
Chhattisgarh is one of the most Naxal-affected states in the country, and that is why in the resolution taken by the Union Home Minister Amit Shah to make the country Naxal-free by March 2026.
मैं बड़े आनंद और विश्वास के साथ कहना चाहता हूँ, ये सरकार के रहते ही ये देश नक्सल समस्या से मुक्त हो जाएगा.
Chhattisgarh has the biggest role to play, and the government's focus is also mostly on Chhattisgarh. Nilab, about 10 years ago, the Bastar division of Chhattisgarh was considered to be the biggest hideout of Naxalites. Naxalites had a lot of influence in Dantewada, Bijapur, Sukma, Narayanpur and Abujmad areas of this region. Due to this, development work could not be done. Many schools were closed and the security forces as well as the citizens had to suffer a lot. This anti-Naxal operation carried out on the Karikutta Hill can prove to be the last nail in the coffin of Naxalites in Chhattisgarh. This operation has also proved to be an important step towards the resolution of making the country Naxal-free by March next year.
Mr. Nathaniel, I'll come back to you with regard to the scenario where the government has declared a deadline, March 31, 2026. And it has been asserted by the Union Home Minister multiple times. This is a corridor that also runs across various states, and state borders remain very vulnerable as to the activities of the Naxals. So what do you think going ahead, meeting that deadline and even beyond that, how can this be area where a unified command kind of a structure between various states, that good old days, and still in the Ministry of Home Affairs, there is a LWE division, LWE wing, which looks after all the requirements and challenges in this particular domain, all the LWE states. So going forward, do you think there needs to be a cohesive and a kind of a unified approach towards ensuring that the hold-up areas do not fall back to the Naxals again, and that these states go together, even in within the state and also at the borders?
There's definitely a need for coordination among all the states which are affected by this LWE elements. So what they need is that they coordinate, and like here, Telangana was not very active from their side, I am made to understand. If they had been very active, maybe their escape route towards Telangana side could have been sealed in such a manner that they could not have escaped that side. But definitely there's a need for coordination for all the states which are affected by LWE. And as far as Telangana is concerned, only 3-4 days back, there was an incident in which 3 Greyhound commandos were killed by the Maoists. While at the same time they are sending feelers to the government for ceasefire and talk. How can these go together? You can't be killing the Greyhound commandos on one side and plead for peace on the other side. So they are coming forward for peace talks or even ceasefire should not be taken seriously, and the government should continue with the operation so that it is finished once for all and much before the deadline given, that is March 31st next year. I think going by the kind of operations being conducted these days, I am sure by the end of this year, we should be able to finish off Naxalism from this country once for all.
You spoke about the borders and initial days we used to, as young reporters, and you have seen the field yourselves. It used to be the corridor from Pashupatinath in Nepal to Tirupati down south in India. So what do you think about the political will that is required for this challenge? LWE menace is starting early 2000s. When the violent incidents did start taking place, the security forces were inducted. You have long seen this domain. The number of casualties used to happen, even civilians were being killed, wild animals. So people and the ecosystem absolutely being affected by this particular menace. One of the prime ministers, Mr. Manmohan Singh, he said that this was one of the biggest internal security problems in the country. So what do you think when we speak about political and administrative will to ensure that this is, to use your words, end it once and for all, and also to ensure that it doesn't recur again?
You see, political will is there. That is the reason why so many security forces, troops have been inducted in that area, so that it is finished once for all. But the fact remains that without the political will, there can be no decisive action taken by the security forces. Because of the political will, action has been taken and the development has also started, and because of which the people are able to now interact with the security forces also. Earlier, out of fear, they would support the Naxalites. But now, they need not fear. So that is the reason why they are coming forward, giving information to the security forces. In fact, just in the last few months, they have killed about 16 civilians, considering them to be police informers. So this will go on, but we should continue with the operations till we finish it off and say that Naxalism has been wiped off, like Karnataka government has already declared that as far as Karnataka is concerned, they have completely finished the Naxalism, and they were even thinking of winding off their anti-Naxal wing of police. So similarly, Kerala also is going to wind up now.
We have with us Mr. P. Sundaraj, the IG of the Bastar range. He is from the Chhattisgarh Police Department.
Can you tell us about the challenges that were faced by the security forces during this operation, Mr. Sundaraj?
In the last couple of seasons, we had a very decisive operational outcomes, particularly in Chhattisgarh area and even in other parts of the LW-affected areas in the country. This particular operation, which was conducted along Chhattisgarh-Telangana border in the district Bijapur of Chhattisgarh, we had a very good operational outcome. In this operation, we recovered 31 moist dead bodies, most of them belonging to Telangana State Committee, Dandakane Special Zone Committee, and PLG Battalion No. 1, and other banned and illegal moist outfits. And we have recovered more than 35 weapons, and we have searched more than 216 bunkers and caves, which Naxal has used as a safe hideout for the last so many months. And during the entire operation, we recovered more than 450 improvised explosive devices, which were planted by the Naxals to harm the security forces as well as to the native population. And significantly, during this operation, we recovered more than 818 BGL shells, that is a barrel grenade launcher shells, and a huge quantity of explosive materials and other daily use and ammunition items from the Naxal hideout. During this entire operation, it was a coordinated effort of state police, which is particularly of DRG, STF, Bastar fighters, and that of Central Paramilitary Forces comprising Cobra teams and CRPF units. So this was a very comprehensive and extensive operation, which was carried out for more than 21 days, starting from 21st of April. It lasted for 21 days. During these 21 days, we had a lot of exchange of fire between MOIST and the security forces. And as I mentioned earlier, we have recovered more than 31 Naxal dead bodies, along with huge quantity of arms, ammunition, and other explosive materials. During the course of operation, 18 of our Jawans, they were injured because of ID blast, which was planted by the MOIST. And fortunately, all these Jawans, now they're recovering well. They have been timely evacuated from ground. Indian Air Force helicopters and BSF Air Wing helicopters, they played a vital role in evacuation of the injured Jawans from ground zero to the nearest hospital facilities. So all these Jawans, now they're recovering. And in conclusion, I could say this is one of the well-coordinated operations in the internal security front. In the recent times, there was a huge number of security personnel, both state as well as the central forces were involved. And other agencies, for security concerns, we can't take name of the agencies or the stakeholders, but it was a multiple agency coordinated operation, and the outcome was very encouraging. And hopefully we would carry forward this advantage into the days to come.
Also, please tell us, how was the coordination between the security forces while undertaking this operation?
Over the period of time, security forces in Chhattisgarh, they have evolved a very strong mechanism for anti-Naxal operations. This mechanism has been derived from a lot of field experiences based on our previous experiences. We have framed out a very comprehensive monitoring and execution mechanism. So based on this, on specific intelligence inputs, we discuss with the ground teams. As I mentioned earlier, this operation was conducted by both state as well as central paramilitary forces. So we had a lot of briefing sessions, and we ensure the operation plan doesn't get leaked. We have a lot of checks and balances to ensure this part of the operation. And they have been monitoring at three levels, one at the district level, which is at district headquarters Bijapur. Second was at the range level at the Jagdalpur. Third was at the headquarter level in Raipur. So at district level, the district superintendent of police and other CRPF officials, they had a 24/7 monitoring. Same thing was ensured in range level, where IGP Buster Range, IGP CRPF and other stakeholders, they have a like very comprehensive 24/7 monitoring mechanism. And the same thing was replicated at Raipur, where like DGP Chhattisgarh, DGs CRPF and other senior officials of paramilitary forces and the state police force, they were involved for this monitoring. All three levels, we had a very systematic and organic monitoring mechanism. As an outcome, like in spite of a very tough terrain, very challenging situation, this area has a very huge undulating hilly and like tough terrain, a lot of caves, like more than 300 to 400 caves were found out in this area. And being in a peak summer time, like where water scarcity is there, like a lot of practical inconveniences there to conduct operations such a peak summer period. In spite of that, our troops, they carried out this operation with high morale, and they carried out with a lot of tactics and fieldcraft techniques. So we had a better outcome. And though 18 of our jawan got injured, but their morale is right now is very high. They want to recover back and come and rejoin the troops for further operation in this area. More important is that native population, they're also happy with the outcome, because over last more than 3 to 4 decades, like this area has been cursed with the Naxal violence. So like people, they want to come out of this like Naxal violence, like, they want to come out of this identity. So they want to have a positive change in their area. So the native population is also very happy about the outcome. And we are very hopeful of bringing an end to this Naxal menace decided by the government of India, decided by the state government, as well as the native population by March 2026.
Mr. Nathaniel, there used to be this word about two-pronged strategy of going into Naxal areas, security forces going in first, holding the area and ensuring so that development works can be assured. We know from the fact that number of police stations used to function from the central forces bases, and gradually hospitals and other public amenities came in. So after say about a decade now, in this age and era of even internet communication reaching the remote locations, telephone, cell phone towers also reaching at number of locations, there are a number of those which are still not connected. But when I think about the development that may reach, and that is what is the aim of the governments to ensure, how do you think will that happen? How do you think, what should be the approach that, as it is called, it is a kind of a cliched word, but to bring the population into the national mainstream, how can that be done?
For development to be brought to any area, security is first and foremost. Without the security, nobody can go in there, go into these areas for developing the region. Like I said about the construction of roads, nobody was willing to go for construction of roads because of the threat by the Naxal. Plus, there was the possibility of their planting IEDs in different places and killing the people also. So because of that reason, the development could really not get started in these areas. But after the security forces were inducted in mass scale in that area, the development started by way of bringing in roads to each and every village, and thereafter establishing towers, establishing schools, bringing in the hospitals. And even CRPF in particular has been doing a great job by opening schools and teaching the children over there, calling the teachers and asking them to conduct classes for the children over there. Now something has got started, and this will continue, and in days to come we'll see even senior secondary schools coming up in all these areas, which will definitely contribute a lot to the development of that region. And when the development is done, Naxalism will on its own be thrown out from that area.
I wanted to bring your attention to one of the important developments that has gathered pace over the last few years, is about the surrenders. So if they were in 10s and 20s, it increased to hundreds, and now these are in thousands. Yes. So one of the official reasons that the government gives is that they are weaning away from that ideology because they are not anymore finding a purpose in it, a kind of ideological dilution also. And what the security forces say, that they are less on weapons and ammunition because of the domination of the forces, multiple security forces, which includes the central paramilitary forces and also the state governments. So these surrenders by the Naxals, now in the initial phase, as we understand, they will always help the security forces understand the other side, the adversary as of today. But how do you think can this go forward? Can they be brought to the mainstream or brought to strengthening? There are instances where Surrender Naxals, the special case in context is the Bastaria battalion for CRPF, which is constituted of the locals from the area, and the DRGs and STF, where a lot of Surrender Naxals themselves are fighting against the Naxals, giving a good edge to the security forces. So in the context of surrenders, how do you see this?
These surrenders, in fact, have started off late, mainly because of the aggressive posture of the security forces. And many of them are getting killed in large numbers, about 30, 40 in each encounter getting killed. This has sent shivers among the rank and file of Maoists. Because of that, they feel it is better to surrender rather than get killed in a ruthless manner like this in encounters. Plus, the other thing is that the Chhattisgarh government has come out with very lucrative incentives for those who surrender. If they surrender, they get a certain amount, which is quite a handsome amount. Plus, they get houses for which, for their stay, the houses have already been constructed. And they'll be given these houses where they can comfortably stay, live with their families and enjoy a normal, peaceful life. Plus, they'll be even given jobs depending on their talent. May not necessarily be in security forces, but depending on the qualifications or talent that they have, they may be recruited in other branches of the government also. Plus, they are being given skill training also, which will help them to establish their own independent business and earn money for themselves.
Right. I will now like to conclude, but with a final question, Mr. Nalyal, is that we all know that the three internal security biggest challenges are the LWX, left-wing extremism that we are currently speaking about, the insurgency in the northeastern states, and also terrorism in Jammu and Kashmir. Now, given by what the pace of the current developments are, how do you see the future where India's one of the biggest problems is going to end? A lot of resources, manpower, and other things that are being contributed to tackle this particular problem of Naxalites and Maoists is going to end. How will this help in the overall shaping of the Indian economy, Indian development context, and obviously, as it goes without saying, that for a prosperous nation, the borders should be strong and also the internal security should situation should be under control. So once this big problem goes off the map of India, what kind of a horizon do you see there?
In fact, the very kind of operation that is being held in Chhattisgarh, that gives us that optimistic hope that in the near future we'll be hearing the news of end of Naxalism. Like the DG CRPF also said recently, that this is the beginning of the end of Naxalism. So this will definitely end much before December 31st of this year. But at the same time, we'll have to concentrate mainly on terrorism in Kashmir. And there are a few organizations in the Northeast also. We can't say that Northeast is completely free from insurgents. It's still going on. Like in Manipur, you must have heard that a number of terrorists have been in recent time been eliminated or they have been captured. And these are the insurgent groups which are exploiting the situation in Manipur these days because of the fluid situation there. And fortunately, the government, the police forces, they are now very active. And I think they'll put an end to this kind of insurgency also, which has been going on since 1968. So this also needs to be given due attention. And in years to come, maybe in the next few years, even Manipur would be a much better place to live with no such problem of insurgency. But at the same time, NSCN problem is there. That has to be sorted out. And because of the situation in Bangladesh now, we need to be more careful so that they do not exploit this situation for their own advantage, because we do not have a very good relationship right now with Bangladesh. So that could lead to some problems in case we do not pay due attention to that.
Thank you so much for sharing your points.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, and Jayant.
You were listening to a discussion of government's coordinated effort to eradicate Naxalism. The participants were MP Nathaniel, former Inspector General CRPF, and Sundar Raj P, Inspector General of Police, Bastar Range, Chhattisgarh. Moderator was Neelab Srivastav, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR.